You're listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. We believe hosting with heart is at the core of every short-term rental. With Annette's background in business operation
and Sarah's extensive hospitality management and interior design experience, we have welcomed thousands of guests from over 30 countries, earning us over $1 million and garnering us thousands of five-star reviews.
We love sharing creative ways for your listing to stand out, serve your guests, and be profitable. Each episode, we will have knowledgeable guests who bring value to the short-term rental industry.
Or we will share our stories of our own experiences so you can implement actual improvements to your rentals. Whether you're experienced, new, or nervous to start your own short-term rental, we promise you'll feel right at home. Before we dive into the content, let's hear a word from our sponsor.
My favorite operations and cleaning tool. Come on, everyone. You know what it is by now. It's Breezeway. It just got a whole lot better for Airbnb hosts.
Breezeway's platform has always helped hosts manage work like cleaning, maintenance, and inspections at their properties. But now their technology is integrated with Airbnb, which means you can connect your Airbnb reservation info with Breezeway, helping you save even more of your precious time, like automatically notifying your cleaners on a new reservation or changes to an existing reservation.
You can use Breezeway to schedule cleaning, inspections, and maintenance tasks using smart checklists and automated messaging to maintain a consistent guest experience.
Connect your Airbnb guest reviews with individual tasks in Breezeway. For example, fridge stopped working and the guest mentioned it in your review, a Breezeway maintenance task will help you make sure it gets fixed as soon as possible.
Respond to guest messages all in one platform. Hosts can now view and respond to Airbnb message threads within the Breezeway platform.
And that's not all. The Breezeway Guide is a personalized digital welcome book, and they also have Breezeway Assist, a 24-hour call service supplemented with Breezeway's AI-driven engine, are also connected through this Airbnb integration.
There are so many things that Breezeway can help you tackle, so check out Breezeway for yourself. TFE listeners will receive free implementation when you decide to make Breezeway a part of your hosting operational strategy, just like Annette and I have. Visit breezeway.io/TFE to learn more. That's breezeway.io/TFV. Welcome back for another great week. My name is Sarah Karakayan.
My name is Annette Grant, and together we are
Thanks for visiting. And we're going to dig into sharing one of you. You all come first, our listeners and viewers. Annette, who are we sharing this week? Who's using our hashtag #StrShareSunday on Instagram?
We are sharing at casa.cochecton. And I'm going to spell that. It's C-O-C-H-E-C-T-O-N. We always have these in our show notes, so feel free to click there. And I want to let you know, I'm learning. They're helping me learn a lot, so thank you. I had to learn how to pronounce that city in New York. And then also, their property is based on and inspired. It's a refined sanctuary inspired by wabi-sabi principles, which I did do some research, and it is the Japanese design focused on transience and imperfection. And ooh, man, it is a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful space. You know, we always highlight amazing properties, but you can really tell that they have a specific inspiration from this wabi-sabi design. And it is in every single element, from the light fixtures to the furniture to all of like the wall hangings, the art, even the, let's say, the plants that are there. So please check it out. I am just smitten with it. I think they've just really nailed it. And I'm hoping that it's a property that they are enjoying and they were inspired by, and are hoping that their guests are also inspired by it. And so I want to encourage our listeners, this is a space, these spaces that you're creating, dig deep and into your soul and what speaks to you, because what speaks to you will speak to others. And so don't be shy, be vulnerable and putting out there what inspires you and what appeals to you. And I feel like all of, you know, your guests will also be inspired by that. So well done. I'm excited that I was learning through this process of just looking at this property, but check them out. Also be inspired by their designs. It's so great. And I want to say, in their Instagram handle, they have, highlights of their details in their home, which are exquisite in the way that they've taken photos. And then also they have the progress that they were making, but then also what even inspired them in their space. We don't see that as often. It's almost like they had their Pinterest board, their inspiration there to show us what they were inspired by while they were designing. So well done. We cannot wait to visit and appreciate the wabi-sabi of Coshecton.
Yes.
I nailed it now, I think, maybe. Or if I'm incorrect, everybody feel free to email and let me know. I will take a course in correcting that. So Sarah, let's get on to our episode. We've been wanting to have this guest on for quite some time, and it's finally happening. We have some extreme time zone differences. And so we just want to thank this guest for getting up bright and bright and early to be on the airwaves with us today.
Yes. So Meredith Cowley is up at 6 a.m. in Australia. She is the co-founder of Custom B&B Hosting, a boutique short-term rental property management company on the east coast of Australia. Building this company has enabled her to fulfill a desire to be a business owner and memory creator for her family. And Meredith has been through quite the journey. We know you're going to be inspired by today's episode. So Meredith, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. It's so delightful to be here and to finally have a conversation with you two as well.
Yeah. We know your story. We're lucky to know your story, but like most people, hosting was not your first career. So can you walk us through a little bit of your history and how, you know, you came to be an amazing host?
Yeah, absolutely right. Hosting was not my first career choice. I started out as a social worker. For 12 years, I've been working in child protection, so working with vulnerable children and families. And I loved it, and I'm very passionate about it. And it's a wonderful job and a wonderful career. However, I had a baby and took maternity leave, which is fine, and was planning to go back to child protection at some point. But then, you know, the big event, life event happens. I got breast cancer when my little boy was 11 months old, and had to stop and reevaluate everything pretty quickly. And in doing that, when I had treatment and went through that process, and at the end of that, towards the end of that, my dad actually suggested I do a course. He noticed this course and he thought he might like to do it himself. Maybe we could do something together, because we've always sort of been dabbling around property and property investing, and I'd done a bunch of renos by that point in time. But it was his suggestion and finding of this course, and we both signed up. My dad's never done anything with the course. I completed it and fully implemented it and started this company. And started dabbling in arbitrage initially, which we called the leasing model in Australia. And now I've moved on to the co-hosting, and here I am. Here I am.
So obviously the course was revolved around how to run Airbnbs or to run short-term rentals. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. How to make it a business and how to make an income from it and replace your income from it. And I thought, this is perfect for me. And my partner was completely on board as well, because we love looking at property and she loves looking at property, and I like renovating properties. We like travel, and, you know, looking after people is, you know, what I've based my career around, you know, prior to that. So I kind of like, yeah, this is a nice, happy synergy. It should be fine.
Can we?
There's a few more challenges than you realize, of course, later on down the track, right?
Always. And we'll dig into those. But I want to know, so we have a lot of listeners who, I would say almost everybody in this industry, right, finds it as a second or third career. And that's a big decision to make. When you have, you know, the education and the work history in a certain field, and I know you went through major changes, not only, you know, the birth of your child, but then breast cancer. How did you have the courage? You already needed all this courage to face this, you know, to face cancer. How did you chalk up even more courage to change your career and to make that leap?
Yeah, you know, when you have a big life-changing event, you know, you just make decisions that are about your family, your best interests, what you are, you know, what your values are and what aligns with your values. And this was about giving it a go. I wanted to have a little business. What did I have to lose to try this, you know? And I made a choice to give it a go because, the worst thing that could happen had happened and I was doing okay. So giving this business a go, you know, couldn't get any worse than that. And so I gave it a go.
Did you have any other possibilities? Like, was it just going into hosting or you're like, okay, I'm going to look at a couple of different avenues. I have some choices to make. Or was this your like, I'm going to go hard on this one thing and make it happen?
Yeah, I did go hard on this one thing and make it happen. I thought it was probably going to be a little less intensive than it actually is. It was something that my partner and I were both on board with, which was really important to me. I didn't want to go on my own. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it just, you know, it was that business. It was doing something with my partner. It was something that was fun and stimulating because I still wanted to be stimulated. I wasn't going to be just, you know, I wasn't desperate for the income so that the pressure was off from that point of view. I could give it a go and see how it worked. I kind of got the short-term rental bug as a result, really.
Okay. I appreciate you saying that. Let's maybe say that one more time to our audience that, you know, yes, you were all in, but you had a little bit of, it sounds like you had a little bit of wiggle room financially to get started, make sure you were doing it the right way and not, you know, putting all of your financial eggs in this one basket, because that's one thing that Sarah and I want to be really, you know, aware of our audience. Cause you know, we were on a phone call earlier today, people cashing out their 401ks to like buy houses, to do short-term rentals and hope that it's going to work. And we're like, oh, that's happening. So I like that you were honest in that. Did you start arbitraging first? Is that how you got started? Is that what the course taught you?
Yeah. I mean, the course taught both, but arbitrage was the way to go at the time. It was obviously pre-COVID. And mm-hmm. so, yeah, we were like, let's give it a go. Absolutely. I still don't rely solely on, you know, our family doesn't rely solely on this income. You know, we definitely have a number of income streams. And do definitely believe in diversifying that in our portfolio. Yeah.
Yeah. So today we really want to unpack two listeners. You know, it was important to Meredith to find a career where she could be involved with her family and really practice self-care. And so we're going to go down that journey. But talk to us about what your business looks like, what your partner is involved. So what's her role? What's your role? What's your son's role? Like, how does this work as a family business?
Mm. So we did arbitrage to start with. But when COVID came, we eventually got rid of all of those properties. And I started networking to locate co-host properties. So owners have all the expenses and I just manage it for them as a property manager. And so I started that and it's just been a trickle in of properties like that. My partner has stepped away from the business because I think, you know, we did take some loss of income as a result of COVID. And you know, she was just like, this is not for me anymore. And that's fine, but I can still do it. So I do it and just building up the co-hosting portfolio. Now we have 12 properties and we across the East Coast. And it really is, and I guess, you know, what's different, we don't go out hard, you know, let's bring in as many properties as possible because it is me. And I do it on 20 hours a week. I look after my little guy. My partner had another baby. So we've got two little boys now. And, you know, we want to have that flexibility. So, you know, I have people on the ground because actually none of the properties are where I live anymore because we moved to get to the sun because it's about making choices that are the best for me and for us and our family. We don't sort of delay that, oh, what if it's not right anymore? It's like, you know what, let's give it a go. This is what cancer's taught us. So we moved to the heat. But it's meant our properties aren't near us anymore. So we've got people on the ground, which is awesome because it does give capacity to grow and scale now. I'm really working on the systems behind the scene, getting our work health and safety up and running, you know, making sure we've got, you know, systems for onboarding, properties onboarding, you know, new contractors. And yeah, that's really, I even handed off the guest messaging. So yeah, really just getting the systems in place so we can scale in a sustainable kind of way.
You talked about networking. You kind of glazed over that, like I started networking. That is probably the number one question that Sarah and I get about co-hosting is like, how do you find the clients? We would love if you could give us, you know, a snippet of you're like, okay, arbitrage is not the way for me anymore. I want to, like you said, partner, link arms with owners where you don't have that financial liability every month. Where did you start? How did you start? Yeah. And how quickly did you scale that?
Yeah. So I started going to BNI's. Everyone knows about the Business Networking International. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. As a guest. I still haven't joined one. And the beautiful thing about COVID was we were all on Zoom, so I could get into all these different BNI's as a guest around a place that I would never have been able to go to otherwise because there's 6 o'clock in the morning, 3 hours drive away, whatever. So that's how it started. And I found my first one in that session. She's a beautiful woman. I've still got her property. She's also a cancer survivor. So we connected. And yeah, so I've got her property. That was my number one. The other places, I got a referral from somebody else in my course network that they didn't want the property, but I could take it on. I did some Facebook posts and someone found me again, you know, promoting one of the properties in a place called Harvey Bay. And she found me that way because there wasn't a lot of advertising in that area. Social, I did do some Google ads.
Oh.
They did not yield a lot, but that's probably about the fact that I didn't know how to do Google ads very well. And I was highly aware of that. And I did a lot of like little bits of training and I'll probably go back to that at some point in time. But now mainly it's, I talk to real estate agents. I have some partnerships with real estate agents. I'm getting a heap of referrals at the moment from one particular agent. She's a property manager herself for long term, but she gets all these people coming to her and saying, hey, I'm thinking about short term. Do you know anyone? And developers, she's referring me developers now who have, you know, got big projects. So that's been a great alliance to have formed. And I've talked to a bunch of different agents, sales agents and property managers, but this one seems to be a really good connect. So you got to talk to a lot of people. I still go to a number of networking events online, in person. I go as a guest. I'm on social media, putting out, just posts about what we do. One of my latest referrals is actually a guest who I gave a full refund when COVID hit. And she was so pleased with how we managed her and so kind. She bought a property and she's like, hey, could you manage it? And I'm like, yeah, sure.
I love that. A full refund turns into a full-time client. That's like
correct.
I love that full circle moment. That's
great.
Yeah.
Kindness, that's awesome. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm. For sure. You also, I don't know if you have ever noticed this theme about you, Meredith, but it's like you're ready to pivot at any moment. You know what I mean? And this conversation has been relatively short to this point, but it's also like, you and your partner got into this together, but then, they weren't as interested in this and you're like, okay, cool, I'm going to do it anyway. And then
arbitrage was the start.
Arbitrage.
I'm not going to do that.
You don't want to do that anymore either. And so you're just like, do you realize how much you've pivoted in such a short amount of time? And that I think for a lot of our listeners is hard because they feel like, Annette and I are all about failing fast. Like we'll try some, it doesn't work. It's like move on to the next, but it's hard to do. It takes some courage. Mm. So how would you help people
fail faster
and pivot?
It's a lovely observation and it's such a great question. And I don't know if I have a really beautiful answer to it. I think because I made the decision to be immersed in this industry and I could see that there was another option, I had to give that a go. And, I guess I noticed it was something that fit for me, to be fair. It wasn't a hard struggle. I could suddenly network and I found out I quite enjoyed it, connecting with people, surprise, surprise. social work is what I do, but connecting with people, getting their stories, and I suddenly had access online, which I'd never had before. So I think it was something that connected for me, that felt okay for me, and it was something I enjoyed doing. So I was able to network that in that way and sort of I got the first one that gives you momentum to get the second one and this kind of work, let's try it again. And, it's been a real learning journey about how to network well and how to do, I've done a sales class and I've done a bit of some networking classes about how to get your, 30-second pitch right and all that kind of stuff.
Well, let's do that. Like for our listeners, like if they want to network, like what is the thing that you're like, okay, this is kind of my secret sauce. I'm always going to mention this thing. I'm always going to, make the offer. Like what is that thing that you've been educating yourself? What's working? We're in the US. Yeah. We're here to collaborate. Like, tell us what's working in Australia. And we're going to bring some of it over here.
Absolutely, right? Yeah, well, you guys are great at it too. So I mean, the first thing is when you go to a networking and you get your 30 seconds to introduce yourself, always start with your name and your company. So I'm Meredith Cowley from Custom B&B Hosting, because people want to know who you are, right? And then you're like, you know, I am the best, or I say I'm the best Airbnb, or I'm the queen of Airbnb in Australia. I'm the best Airbnb property manager along the east coast of Australia. So, you know, you kind of talk yourself up. And that's fine. And then you kind of give people a bit of a snapshot that's relevant to them. So I manage Airbnb properties along the east coast of Australia. And I manage everything for busy professionals who want to make some extra cash from their property. I take care of everything from, you know, guest messaging to making and cleaners and that sort of stuff. So owners can have, you know, get their cash and go and enjoy their best life, go on a holiday, or go to work and make some more money and get some more investment properties, but it's hassle-free. So I might put a little story in there, you know, about what makes, not everything, I don't rattle off everything I do. I don't give a long list of, I do guest messaging and then, you know, and manage maintenance. So just name a few things that you do. Talk about your target avatar, your target market, and about how you assist them. And then make sure you always finish off with, and I'm Meredith Cowley from Custom B&B Hosting, because people won't remember who you are from the beginning to the end. Mm. And you want them to remember your name. So when they Google you later on, it's like, hey, oh, right, it was Meredith from Custom B&B. So they won't remember your phone. You don't have to worry about giving your phone number, because people won't write it down, right? You've got 30 seconds. What would you say? Start with your name and finish with your name. Make sure you've got your business card if you're doing it on Zoom, and stick that in the chat. You know, have your details ready to go in the chat so people can find you. Make sure you get your email in there. Make sure you get everybody's email when you're communicating. You can save the chats right in the from a Zoom. If you're having a Zoom meeting, make sure you save the chats so that you can get everybody's details out of there, and then reach out and connect with them. Go, hey, so good to just have to send them one email, you know, one line to say, hey, it was so nice meeting you at that Zoom, you know, at that meeting today, and you start building that relationship, because relationships everything. So that's my tips on, you know, efficient networking. And you got to turn up consistently. Going in as a guest, I know I started out going in as a guest, but, you know, you've got to then work hard on those relationships, those connections that you made, and either it's turning up again or it's nurturing that relationship outside of the platform, because you won't just be remembered that one time.
That's fantastic. Hey there, fellow hosts. Want to make your short-term rental feel like $1 million without breaking the bank?
You bet. That's where Manoan comes in. They've got deep discounts on over 100 amazing brands. Brands like Article, West Elm, Crate & Barrel, Pollywood, Wayfair, Parachute, and Fellow. Your guests will be swooning over the stylish furnishings, and you'll be grinning at the money you saved.
And here's the exciting news. Manoan just leveled up their platform. Now you can easily sort through their brands with improved browsing and filtering capabilities, including host favorites and unique finds. No more endlessly scrolling.
Plus, if you're a design-savvy host juggling multiple properties, Manoan has your back. You can tag quotes and orders by property so you can keep things organized like a pro.
And let's not forget, you can set up multiple properties under your one account. It's a breeze to manage them all in one place. Talk about convenience.
Oh, and customization is key. With Manoan, you can decide who gets email notifications for all of your quotes and order updates. No more inbox overload.
And also, of course, we cannot forget the most exciting thing about all of this. Manoan is 100% free for hosts. Yes, you've heard that right. There are no membership fees, no sneaky costs, just fabulous discounts and a stress-free experience.
So what are you waiting for? Don't waste another second. Go to ManoanExperience.com and sign up today. Your guests will thank you, your wallet will thank you, and we'll thank you for spreading the word.
Thanks for visiting the new Manoan. Okay, so talked about growing. We talked about, you know, you want to perfect your systems because it'll be easier to scale that way. But we know for you that self-care is important, and you transitioned to this industry because you wanted to make sure you're taking care of yourself and your family. But we all know that this business is 24/7, 365. We say it can be part-time, but it's all the time part-time. So Meredith, how do you do it? What, I mean, and it sounds like you're still, you know, you're still very much figuring it out and you're always evolving. And that's, as business owners, that's the truth of it. We're never really mm-hmm. ever done. But what's been working for you so that you can stay focused on being able to practice some self-care?
Yeah. My partner is wonderful at reminding me that you need to take care of yourself. So having people who are noticing is really important part. I think the other, you know, it is a 24/7 business. You're absolutely right. And I try to do it in 20 hours a week. You know, that's what I've set aside. So it's about prioritizing what I can get done and, you know, organizing the days of the week that I'm working or the hours that I'm working. It's, you know, it's finance day. It's listing attention day. It's social media day. But I've had to bring in people and it takes some of the income away for sure. But the pressure off me is enormous and totally worth it.
Will you tell us about your team? Because we do have a lot of co-hosts on here. I love that you just said you do specific days and you try to silo that work. But can you talk us through how you built your team?
Yeah, what it looks absolutely. Like? Yep. So the first person that I've always had to bring on people on board because I've onboarded properties remotely. Because I'm part of a community, I've reached out to the education community, got anyone in that area. And so they already do know the business and we have a contract with them so that they'll work for me. If I bring on board a property or I need to go and meet an owner, they represent me. I pay them an hourly rate. So yeah, it's been really effective. So I've got people down in Melbourne, up in Hervey Bay, in Brisbane, who represent me. I give them my booklet. And pay them an hourly rate. They're also my person on the ground. So if I go out and, you know, if there's something going on with the property, then they'll go and check it out for me, go and spot check my cleaners. So I get a cleaning team. I've been coordinating all the cleaners, but what I've just done right now is bring on these, my local hosting pros are now taking on more responsibility. They're doing all the guest messaging. They're liaising with the cleaners, the maintenance people and the owners. So I'm splitting my commission with them now rather than paying an hourly rate for them. Ooh. So that's giving me even more time back. So I have a social media person. She just does 4 hours a week and we have some priorities and she gets some stuff out and about for that, which is amazing. I have a bookkeeper. I found them on Upwork. They help me with my reconciling of my zero. I've still got some work to do there, I think, in terms of finessing those systems and getting that a bit more efficient. I feel very clunky because numbers aren't my strength, but it's something I work really hard on.
I love that.
That's my team.
Yeah. I love the hourly rate that you have boots on the ground at an hourly rate. And then it sounds like you tested the waters with them. They're crushing it. You're like, hey, do you want more responsibility? Now let's split the commissions. I think that's an amazing structure to have. Mm-hmm. Listeners, hopefully you're taking a ton of notes here because, you know, this is what Meredith is building. It can be repeatable for so many different people and allow you, like she said, like COVID is, you know, not completely over, but the lockdowns are over. And so, but people are still networking online. So you really are able to still participate in a lot of networking events online. And maybe if you're, you know, you want to bring on more properties in different areas, this is definitely something that can be repeatable. And we love it because she has boots on the ground. She has inspectors. She has people that already know the short-term rental world. And like, kudos to you for doing that and not just sitting behind your phone, you know, like hours and hours away trying to make it happen.
Well, something else too that I think is important, Meredith, that you said that I meant to bring up and then you said something else fabulous, but that you decided you want to be a part of the short-term rental industry. That was first. Mm. You know what I mean? So I think listeners, if you're listening to our podcast, you have a love for this industry, but that does not mean you have to do the certain thing that, you know, you saw someone on Instagram do or whatever you think that is in your head. And I think that too, Meredith, with your ability to pivot, because you're kind of like, I don't care how I pivot as long as I'm involved in this amazing industry. And then it could take you to all sorts of different wonderful places and meet amazing people too along the way, which is how we met you. You were part of a summit at the beginning of the year that we were also a part of, and we fell in love with your story. So listeners, if you love this industry, keep your mind open and be ready to try something, pivot, or try something and love it. You know what I mean? And dig deep.
And how are you, circling back to the 20 hours, how are you constraining that? Are you super diligent? Like, are the hours in your calendar? Because I know our listeners, they're doing all the things. They have their phones at dinner with them. They have it at breakfast. They have it in bed. I mean, everybody's got it on their bedside table. How are you compartmentalizing and being very diligent about this 20 hours a week?
Yeah, my phone is, you know, right here. It's definitely been beside my bed. It's definitely, and everyone wants to message you at dinner time. I'm like, we have, you know, we call it pensioner dinner, early dinner at our house because we've got young children. Guarantee I'm getting messages. So yeah, part of, that's definitely been a big issue. It is a work in progress, keeping it to 20 hours. Part of it, what is restricted is that it's in school hours for my young person. So I just have to manage within that, and because I have other responsibilities outside of that. So that's the doing of the work, the building of the listings, that kind of thing. But yeah, I'm definitely have been on 24/7 for, you know, guest communication and any emergencies. And I think part of me, I'm still going to be doing sort of the 20 hours a week, but I want to back out of the direct guest communications and be moving more into sales and marketing. And that's what I'm going to be focusing my time on. So it is definitely, I mean, yeah, it's restricted because of other family responsibilities, and I want to be present. You know, I can go to my son's school, and I went to a sports carnival this week, and he, you know, I go and do reading this morning, you know, and maths with the class. So that's, those things are really important. They're first, and everything else has to fit around. That the business has to fit around that. It is hard. Look, you know, at last night I was also, you know, up doing, you know, a couple of hours before I went to bed. So sometimes it's not neat and tidy. I try really hard. You have systems, you have organization, but sometimes, and look, the reason I'm sort of doing a lot this week is because I'm going away for a holiday next week. Mm. So, you know, it's ebbs and flows, it swings and roundabouts, but having some sort of structure, but having the other people to help has been immense. And it, you know, it takes a trusting relationship, and it does take, you know, you're right, you know, and about, I met these people, I paid them an hourly rate first, we've built some relationship, we built some trust, and it's gone from there. You know, it does, you kind of just got to, you have some, you know, conversations with people, and you just got to take a punt. I am a bit of a control freak, and I have wanted to do a lot, so it's been a lot to sort of let go of some of these things. Mm-hmm. But my God, it feels so good when you do.
It does.
You know, the best you can do is put a system in place, give it a go and review it. It's not perfect straight up. You know, my perfectionism has to take a little back seat for a while, because it actually is really liberating when you let other people into your team and you can build it like that.
And how, it's such a celebration too when you do that. And then you do, Nat and I practice and preach trust but verify. So you trust your team, but then you got to hop in there and verify they're doing the things that, you know, you've agreed to do. And when they're doing it well, or when they've got a win.
Or when they do it better than you.
When they do it
better than you.
You
would ever do it.
And then you celebrate with that with them. I mean, that there is something there too that I think is an unexpected joy out of owning a business. You know, that you're like, oh, I've got to do all these things, me. But you can open up your business and share with others and help them put food on their tables. I mean, come on.
That's right.
That is amazing.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, absolutely. And there's so much talented and there's so many committed people out there. You've just got to find them and bring them in.
How do you screen your clients? Like, do you have kind of a list of like alignment for who you're going to bring into your portfolio? How do you kind of, what's that interview process look like?
Yeah, that's such a really great question. And it's something I've been working on more recently in really documenting what my values are. And then, right, you know, looking at, does this person fit in with that? So, you know, is the communication open and honest straight up? Like none of this cagey stuff about, I don't know what I'm, you know, it's really frustrating, you know. So that sort of open, honest communication straight up, I'm pretty authentic and, you know, honest, certainly not a lot of fluffy sales pitch from me, and that's reciprocated. So I think that they understand it's about giving something a go, and about that they understand that there's got to be a bit of a process, and it sort of takes 12 months to see how a property performs to get a really good picture. So there's some understanding of expectations. Mm. Yeah, I think that part of the other screening is that they're not people who are like really on the seat of their pants, like the threads of their pants, desperate for this income. Like they've got to have some kind of ability to be able to pay that mortgage if we're having some of those low weeks. So there's some of that vetting in terms of their financial security.
Because you don't need their financial stress to become your stress. That's not fun.
That's right.
At all.
That's not fun at all. Exactly. Yeah, but I think it's about, that kind of aligning with my values of wanting to create a good product, let, you know, for guests to have a great experience and and an excellent communication. That's really the key things for me, I think.
What's next for you? If you could predict the next 6 months to be perfect, what would it look like?
Yeah, my perfect would be to find my final person on the ground in my place called Harvey Bay.
Okay.
And okay, if there's any listeners in Harvey Bay looking for the
Harvey
perfect position.
Harvey Bay, we need you.
Are you out there? Reach out to Meredith.
Boots on the ground. They need to be there. They need to be wanting to be cleaning or managing the cleaners and be awesome. I have a love of people and have a bit of a challenge and be a hostess with the mostest is what I want. Mm-hmm. And then once I've got that person in place, then my next 6 months are going to definitely be getting into building those relationships with more real estate agents, really refining my onboarding processes and have that documented so it can just be replicated, really finalize my work health and safety processes and procedures and bring on my team. Onboard my team. I've got some nice little partnerships happening with something called Journey Maker, which is a guide. So I'm really looking at really bringing that digital guide on board into our properties and trying to make that our USP. And it's a digital guidebook that guests can book from. So then we can get some commission. So it's another income stream. So that's coming on board, that partnership. So a few little projects going on
You mentioned that too. Again, you're really good at not having all your eggs in one basket because like the different income streams, like yes, you're a property manager, mm-hmm. but there are so many ways you can tap into other ways to make money in this industry you love and not be, if something were to like have a low month or whatever, you've got this you can count on. So listeners too, that's the exciting thing too about, we believe that you should focus on the one thing, build it up to be strong. But then as you see that coming to fruition, that's a little thing is that like an affiliate partnership or how does that work, Meredith? How do you bring in?
Yeah, so there is an affiliate partnership. That's right. But the idea is that the guests are in will be able to scan on their phone to get the guide for my property. It's unique to my area and my properties. It's something I've put together as well as a whole bunch of other. But then when they click on to book, we'll get a commission from that booking. So it's kind of like the tour desk.
Yep.
That Julie George talks about. She had in Cairns, she had the tour desk, and she'd send people down to them, and any booking ticket they sold, she gets a cut of that.
Right.
So it's just a digitalized version of that.
Smart.
And it looks really pretty. And so making, I definitely know that the industry needs to be having sort of packages, to accompany your properties. That's really how you can kind of add another income stream to your property and creating experiences at your property, not just a bed. So I'm trying to sort of, get into start explore that space. But the other part is really connect with ways of bringing guests in. So trying to partner with some movie people in the area, one of our properties, to try and get some regular guests. And you're right, like filling up gaps in our in our bookings outside of like holiday blitzes and that sort of stuff. So there's lots to do. There's lots to do. Once you get in it, you're like, I could do this and I could do that. And then we could go and do that. And I should do that better. And
And you have to love the process because that's never going to end because, properties and travel and all that stuff, it's always ebbing and flowing. For you, is it important to have a certain amount of doors to manage or how do you define success in your business?
Look, I've had this number in my head that, I wanted to get to 45 properties, that was last year, but they've had to really, and it's this year, but I've just had to take it slowly. And I don't think it's a bad thing that I have because I can put some systems in place and not get too stressed about it. I don't have the manpower and the time to put 80 hours a week into scaling this at speed, So it's scaling at my speed and I've had to go through a process of accepting that that's okay and I don't stop doing the comparison stuff, but what I'm doing is okay. And that's okay and that's good because actually I'm bringing them on at a pace that I can manage and I'm aligning myself and getting myself positioned to be able to do it a little bit faster as we move forward but in a really good solid foundation, like you're talking about, really good solid base. Yeah. So, I do want a number. I want to have more than I have. I obviously know that bigger properties, can bring in same amount of work, bigger income. But attracting those kind of properties, I think for me, is a mental space that I need to move into, that, you know, bigger luxury properties, you know, I can do those. And that's about me getting my head right that, yeah, you're worthy of those and you can do that stuff. And so then I'll be able to attract, you know, right, some of those clients.
And you might not need all the doors then.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, the door, it's all about the revenue, not the actual amount of doors.
Because that's exactly right.
Sarah and I, in real estate, that's their like vanity metric that everybody likes to throw out. And I'm like,
correct.
No one ever tells you what their bottom line is. So someone with 10 doors could have the same bottom line as someone with 100 doors. Like it's just very interesting that that's like this metric that every, you know, how many doors do you have?
I know. I totally get it. Like sometimes, you know, for a while, you know, getting on Clubhouse, I'm like, oh, I've only got like 10 properties, you know. But you're exactly right. Like, what if there were 10 high-end luxury properties making me 10 grand mm-hmm. a month? Like, that would just blow my mind.
Yeah.
And so that is, you know, I have had the vanity metrics and I am probably in the process of adjusting some of that. And, you know, my income, I would love to replace my income that I was earning as a social worker. That would be amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's on the way.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
not there yet.
You're going to crush it, Meredith. I mean, yeah, it's inevitable for you. There's Annette and I talk to a lot of people, obviously, on this podcast, and there's just these like common threads from all these rock stars that we have on. And it's that ability to pivot. It's understanding and appreciating diversification and remembering that you come first, you know, and your family come first, and we're doing this for a specific reason. So you keep those in play and you just, there's just no way you can, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're going to fail, but you're like pumped to fail. You're like, yeah, sounds great. Cause then I'm going to have that, like, that doesn't work. So I'm going to move on to the next thing and it's going to be awesome and fun.
Absolutely.
Or you love this industry. I just love that part. Like you just love the industry and you're like, I just want to be in this.
Figure it out.
Yeah. Figure it out.
Yeah, all right, 100%. Meredith. So where can our listeners find you, where if they wanted to reach out to you, where can they follow you? Let us know how we can help to, you know, give some PR to your business.
No, thank you. Yeah, so our business is custombnb.com.au. That's our website. Or you can find me on the social medias at custombnb. I also have a Facebook group called Positive Cashflow Real Estate. It's a bit more Australian-centric. But yeah, talking there a lot about running our Airbnb businesses, doing a bit of the numbers, make them profitable. Yeah. So, so I'm on Facebook and Instagram.
Cool. Yeah. And we'll make sure those will all be linked in our show notes.
Yes. Sure. All right, Meredith, we can't thank you so much. We can't thank you enough for your time and for all that you do for guests and for your owners in these homes. It's impactful. And we wish you all the luck. We can't wait to watch you unfold.
I just thought of something. I thought your idea of beginning and ending with your name is brilliant, but we do that on every show. I was like, I'm going to have to adopt that, but we do it.
And on that note, I am Sarah Karakayan.
I am Annette Grant. And together we are.
Thanks for visiting. We'll talk to you.
Thanks for listening to the Thanks for Visiting podcast. Head on over to the show notes for additional information about today's episode. And please hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. Awesome reviews help us bring you awesome content. Thanks for tuning in, and we look forward to hanging out with you next week. Ever wonder what it would be like to have personalized guidance from Annette and me? Imagine achieving the same incredible results we helped Amy achieve, increasing her overall revenue by a staggering 187% by diving into her biz numbers. Or perhaps you'd love to boost your hosting business like Miranda, who added a fantastic $10,000 by refining her pet policy. Well, here's a scoop. There's only one way to get that one-on-one support from Annette, myself, our expert coaches, and our industry pros is by attending our on-demand workshop. Trust us. It's worth it. During the workshop, we'll make an offer to all of our attendees to join our membership. Once you're a part of our exclusive membership, you'll gain access to our elite community of hosts in our private Facebook group. This is where the magic truly happens. Members are engaging in discussions about their business numbers, occupancy rates, how to handle guest challenges, and providing unwavering support to one another. Plus, we will have live coaching calls to help you dive deeper into portfolio growth, team building, marketing, and so much more. Don't wait any longer. Head on over to www.hostmasterclass.com right now to secure your spot and embark on this exciting journey with us. That's www.hostmasterclass.com. Trust us, you won't regret it.